is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my sweet wife, Vicky, by my side.
Hello, Thrive family. We're so happy to be back with you today.
Yep. We love the chance to actually talk, and often we do it in real time with other couples, whether it's over a meal or at a conference or in the foyer of the church. We're both still so excited and happy to talk about marriage because we're still both pretty amazed about what God has done, taking us from where we were to where we are, which I hope you know is not nirvana. We can still get sideways easily. Oh, I know. I know. It's close. It's close, isn't it? Almost.
We
nirvana.
Definitely still get sideways.
Yeah.
So if that encourages you, let it encourage you.
Yeah. And, but I mean, it's just so much better than we ever thought possible.
That's true.
And so, therefore, we love taking time. And so thank you for taking time today to listen. Because we're trying to think through what has made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened?
Right.
And one of the biggest things that happened is both of us discovered by God's grace, oh, I'm pretty prideful. We would have said it different. I would have said, oh, I'm very structured.
Mm-hmm.
What might you have said?
I know how I want things. But I know how I want things.
Okay.
Maybe.
And it's funny that we have ways. Nobody loves to say, well, you know, I am very prideful.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard anybody say that. In fact, in 40 years of counseling, the paperwork, you know, when it's official, we have people fill out paperwork. It's always, what's the problem as you see it? What have you done about it? What do you hope we can do? I'm telling you what, after 40 years, I've never had anybody say in the section, what's the problem? I'm prideful.
Right. We didn't put it on our paperwork,
no.
Right?
No.
And I really think we did not see it. We were so blinded. Both of us were, right?
I did not think I was prideful. Mm-hmm. I just thought I was together.
Right.
And so a big breakthrough was when God helped me to see. But here's what we're trying to help you realize. What does your pride look like versus her pride versus my pride? So I had to discover mine, and Vicky had to discover hers. And so we've given you lots of angles on pride. We're going to shift gears, and we want to try to talk about a little bit now. So, all right. You've convinced me, Brad. Vicky.
Please stop talking about it.
I'm leaning in a little more, thinking, okay. So
I get it.
Maybe I'm prideful. If I was, what would I do about it? Well, thank you for taking that approach, because here's what I believe. If you don't get a hold of this, it keeps you from seeing other sins in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is critical. Until I see this sin and remove this sin, you're never going to have it completely gone, but be killing it. You'll miss out on other sins. Lou Priolo, my all-time favorite husband book, is still The Complete Husband. So if you're listening and you're a guy,
that's
and you're
my baby.
For,
he is the complete husband.
Stop.
Look at him go.
But yeah, go ahead. Tell us how complete. How complete is...
I'd say he's about 80, 84. No, he's heading up, folks.
But this still, when someone says, hey, just a month ago, someone said, hey, you got a good husband book? I got a couple of young guys in my small group that want help.
Great
and
idea.
I want to meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is still my go-to, The Complete Husband by Lou Priolo. Listen to what he says about the sin of pride. He says, the sin of pride carries with it God's swiftest and most severe judgment.
Mm.
Yikes. It blinds you to other sins in your life and hinders you from repenting of them. Pride is the AIDS or acquired immune deficiency syndrome of the soul. When a person dies as a result of acquiring AIDS, he doesn't really die of AIDS. He dies of an AIDS complicated illness like pneumonia, tuberculosis, meningitis. The AIDS virus somehow blinds the eyes of its victim's bodily defense system. This prevents the autoimmune system from seeing and consequently destroying those deadly viruses and bacteria that ultimately kill him. Like AIDS, pride blinds you not only to itself, but to every other sin tucked away in the recesses of your heart and life.
I really like this next sentence.
It causes you to hate correction and reproof. That's a sign that you're prideful.
That was so mean.
When you just, that was you?
Yeah.
I ran into that when I just tried to
I mean, did you like correction and reproof? I still don't like correction and reproof.
No, but I sense that you hated it, truly. It hides your sin from you. It justifies your sin. It excuses your sin, and it keeps you from repenting of your sin. And so, in other words, think about this. As God begins to reveal to you the sin of pride and you repent, you just might start seeing other sins you'd never seen before.
You're like, oh, great.
Yep, which is not a bad thing. So then what would you do about it as you see it? And what could we be doing? So I hope you're hearing it's not like, oh, how did Brad and Vicky kill it? Mm-hmm. It's how did Brad and Vicky become aware of it, and how do we constantly focus on killing it?
Right.
So let me give you one thing that we've tried to practice that's so different than the early days of our marriage. Choose to be approachable and teachable in your marriage, but in all relationships. Choose to be approachable and teachable. What I mean by that is most of us are just not approachable as far as being willing to let someone tell you something about you.
And I mean, it's still hard. I mean, it's still hard for me. Is it still hard for you?
It is.
I mean, I'd like to say, oh, and now when Brad says, hey, can I talk to you about something? I just think, oh, yes, please.
Yeah.
No, it's still, I mean, I think because it's so deeply seated in my heart. No, I don't want you to tell me anything
it's never
I'm doing
gone,
wrong.
So it's never easy. But we have both. I mean, as much as you're admitting it's still hard for you, You do this so much better. I hope I do this so much better that when you do want to tell me something about me.
Right.
And I think we've said it before, but how we set this up with each other is we just agreed to start it. Hey, honey, could I get your help on something?
I hate to hear those words.
But that's so much better than you did it again.
Right.
In small
no, you're
group.
Right.
You always. And that's how we used to begin these conversations.
Right.
And it never went well.
Right.
So at least it's better to start with, hey, honey, could I get your help on something?
Because I do think something that's put us in a much better place to receive correction is I think your correction will be more easily received if you are loving them well and verbally encouraging them along the way, which I just feel like you do a really good job of that now. I try to
Am I doing
to
better?
You. Yeah, you do so
oh,
much
good.
Better. I mean, there should be so many things coming out of positive things coming out of your mouth toward your spouse that they can easily receive correction. I mean, sometimes like Brad will just say, probably once a week, he'll just look at our meal. Like last night we had like a filet and steamed spinach and
sauteed.
His favorite, sauteed spinach and then smashed potatoes, little red potatoes with Parmesan under the
roller.
Even
in the car on the way home from the gym, I said, oh, will there be some golden Yukon
and
smashed
there weren't going
potatoes?
To be, but I'm like, okay, I can do that.
Isn't that sweet? There was a kind of a long pause. She's like, actually, there
hadn't
wasn't.
I planned on that, yes.
And I said, ooh, golden smashed Yukon potatoes.
But sometimes
so nice.
He'll come to the table and just say, wow, I feel like I'm at Coppin's in downtown Covington. It's a super nice hotel with like brick walls and music playing, live music. It's just a really,
really
fun place
sweet
to go.
Venue.
Yes. And then
and a great menu.
Sometimes he'll just say, you know, once again, this is the kind of stuff we were not doing when our marriage was in such a bad spot. You know, sometimes he'll just say, hey, thanks for getting all my produce, my Cosmic Crisp apples, my kale, my carrots, because he puts some of that stuff in his smoothie every day. He eats apples. He's so healthy. And then sometimes.
Try to be because I'm the complete husband.
Yes, you are.
He's
Thank
healthy.
You. But then sometimes, and I think this is important, that once again, something we didn't used to do, he'll just come up behind me and put his arms around me and just say, do you know how happy I am to be married to you? Mm. I'm so glad I get to live with you. Mm. I mean, that's wonderful. After all these years.
Yeah.
And we didn't used to do things like that to each other. We were very just negative, pointing out what you didn't like. So I do think when you're putting things and encouraging your spouse along the way, it is a little more easy to hear
That's
correction.
Right.
And there should be like for every one correction, there should be like 20.
That's what I was
things.
About to say, honey.
Is that enough?
That
I mean,
quote
probably 40.
That I love for every one look at your own dark heart, take 10 looks at Christ. I was about to say, for every one time you try to approach your spouse to say, hey, honey, could I get your help on something and point out what's wrong? Right. That needs to be happening in a context where they've heard 10 or 20 things of what you appreciate. And I think that's what we just don't. It's really easy to think, oh, I see that and I don't like that. I want to talk to her about that. But I hope you're hearing, I try to do it for her and she does it for me. She'll say, honey, do you know what I appreciate about you? Or she'll say, honey, do you know you're one of the hardest working men that I know? Or honey, I appreciate how you take care of yourself. If your spouse isn't regularly hearing encouragement and affirmation and what's right, they will struggle to hear about anything wrong.
And that doesn't cost any amount of money. It basically is just a conscious effort to encourage your spouse. Yeah. And it makes a big difference.
And so we're saying, put out the welcome mat and be willing to have your spouse talk to you about something that isn't as good as it should be. But as you're the one bringing this, keep in mind, when's the last time you thanked them, encouraged them, praise them specifically, and don't let it be generic. Because when we bring
you're
a correction,
such a good wife. That
isn't it
count.
Interesting? Our correction is always very specific.
Right.
We just
say
specifically what we don't like. So we
good
need
point.
To be saying what we appreciate. We're talking about how to be killing pride and cultivating a different culture in your marriage where there's humility and love can grow again. One of those things is put out the welcome mat. Be approachable and teachable. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about what would it look like to be killing pride and creating a context of humility where love can thrive.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. Boy, 20 affirmations for every correction. They just gave you some marriage math. But I wonder if you heard exactly what it was that they were saying. The harder truth out of what they were saying, that they had to learn to receive correction first before they could give it well. That's something that a lot of us that don't think actually do very well. We're very good at giving correction, but taking it and receiving it ourselves, we're not very good at that. I'm probably the world's worst at that myself. I've actually been thinking a lot about this lately. You know, being vulnerable. And I'm talking about really being vulnerable. Not the kind of stuff that we put on social media, but really being vulnerable. Like Brad admitting that he's about 80% of a complete husband, or Vicky confessing she still hates hearing, can I get your help on something? That's being really vulnerable in the real things that happen in a marriage. And it's really terrifying how rare that honesty has become. We live in a culture that's weaponized being vulnerable like this. Because the very first time you open up to someone that you think you can trust, and then you have a little spat with that person and see how fast it comes back in your face. That's why we've all learned to stay defensive, stay proud, not share what we're really feeling. And the analogy from Dr. Lou Priello that Brad quoted, how pride is really the AIDS of the soul. It prevents your immune system from fighting what's actually killing you. How profound was that? That's why Fortis Institute exists. That's why Fortis Plus exists. If Fortis Plus isn't a part of your daily routine, I know this sounds self-serving. It kind of is, but it's also true. Fortis Plus exists to provide you with content that will work through all of these areas of your life that you're dealing with. It might not be the vulnerability thing or your marriage or your parenting. It may be something else that you're dealing with. And you're going to find content inside of Fortis Plus that helps you deal with it. And you're going to find that content absolutely free of charge. Because we believe the first step towards healing in any area of your life spiritually shouldn't cost you anything. You can download our app right now at the very place where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. It's absolutely free of charge. Will not cost you anything. It's not free trial free. It's free all the time free. And the reason that it's free is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they've made the decision to link arms with us and join us as partners in this mission. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. That's fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now, back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you're listening to Thrive, and we're trying to trying to share with you just some of what God has done. And instead of leaving it in fuzzy land saying, I don't know, it got better, God heard our cry. Well, yes, we both were crying out to God, but there were specific things that God put his finger on. And both Vicky and Brad were willing to say, okay, yes, Lord, you're right. You're right. I hadn't seen that. I need to work on that. We've mm-hmm. both worked on stuff. And one of yes. it was, woo, it was off our radar. Neither one of us thought we were prideful.
No.
And the day we both realized, oh, but I am. Mm-hmm. And I need to be working on that and keep working on that. So we're talking about one of the ways to be working on that and see that it continues to be put to death is to make it easy for your spouse to talk to you mm-hmm. about you. If you'll do this one thing, then pride will get stabbed on a regular basis. I guarantee you. Trust me, I know, because I've been trying to do this both with Vicky and even with my team at church. If you really want to see traction in your life in any area, broaden it beyond the home. Mm-hmm. If you say, oh, I want to work on this in the home, but everywhere else I'm going to stay the same, you'll struggle to get significant traction. So I began inviting others on my team at mm-hmm. church that work
Very
around
brave.
Me. It is a little scary to speak into my life. And
did
make
they
it,
do it?
They have, yes. And as painful as it's been, I got to tell you, the good and the mm-hmm. fruit outweighs the pain. It's worth the pain.
And it's probably been memorable.
I mean, I think it's a really good thing. You know, maybe some of you don't know, but if you don't know, I'm the lead pastor of a church now that has 3 campuses by God's grace and 35 or 40 people that work there. And I've tried to make it clear to everybody that never mind the org chart. It's not like Brad at the mm-hmm. top and everybody else, and you wouldn't dare tell Brad something. I was in a meeting recently and I did not take offense. I thought, thank you, Lord. I've worked hard to make sure everyone knows that. There was a situation where someone was making accusations against me. And the elders had asked him to come to a meeting and bring all his concerns. And as the guy said, Brad this and Brad that, and the staff's afraid of him and he intimidates and tut, 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 tut. The people in that meeting, there were 9 of them, top leaders. One guy spoke up and said, oh, we are not afraid of Brad.
Well,
we're not
good.
Afraid of Brad. We tell Brad exactly what we think. And I sat there and I thought to myself, thank you, Lord, because that's what you want.
Right.
Guys, you do not want to have bullied and intimidated your wife down into a point that mm-hmm. she never wants to tell you.
Or your best friend.
Or your best friend or right. coworkers or other church friends.
But I do think your spouse, more than any other human, if you're married,
oh, yeah.
has the greatest insights about you. And I would say if you're a single person, I would say probably your roommates or definitely your parents. I mean, I
yeah.
just think of, you know, your spouse and children know you better than anyone. Because sometimes my kids, you know, we have 5 of them. They'll say, oh, man, we know how to push mom's buttons. I'm like, okay, they know. Because
yeah.
if you just said, all right, Vicky, you have 10 minutes to list Brad and all 5 of your children, Lauren, Harrison, Kelly, Garrett, Sarah,
yeah.
all their strengths and weaknesses, I could do it quickly.
You could.
Yeah, and they could probably do mine because we've lived with each other all these years. So I think the people closest to you that you interact with day by day,
mm-hmm.
they are the ones that really probably have the best insight into how you truly operate, not what you're just trying mm-hmm. to present to the world or to your friends or at work. So I think...
Well, yeah, you know, you're right. It's funny as you say that. I've got prayer journals that I've kept since 1998. And I would pray for Vicky specifically in our marriage and all kinds of stuff, missionaries, churches, but every kid specifically, I had a page. And it just popped in my head, honey, as you were saying that.
But let's not mention all
Oh,
of them.
I won't name
okay.
names. But I could see in my notes, and some
right.
of these notes are from 1998.
Wow.
Some of these people are 35, 33,
yeah.
31 now. I had strengths and weaknesses that I'd written there that I'd like, oh, Lord, I see this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you continue to add grace to this? And
right.
that's a great gift and use it for your glory. Mm. But oh, here's a weakness. Help them with this.
Right. So see, you picked up on it too, just
those
like they picked up on ours.
Closest, and you saw my
right
weaknesses quickly, more than most when you live with someone.
But I think when we're not willing, as we call it, to put out the welcome mat.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm willing to invite you into my life to share some things
on
with
this
me
level
in a loving way. And it really is the most
and
loving
please
thing.
Please don't come knocking every day
no,
to that mat.
No, please don't.
Don't come wiping your feet on that mat every day.
We will send, I will not answer the door. But I know just like one of my sons does traveling in the Heart Cath Lab, and he was telling me about another traveler, and he said, yeah, and this guy, my son, he's so sweet. He loves people well, but he said, yeah, no one else really likes him. I said, why not? He said, well, he has terrible bad breath, and he's just not real friendly. And I said, oh, what's with the bad breath? And he said, well, every day for lunch, he drinks like a chocolate Premier shake protein drink, and he never brushes his teeth. I don't know if he ever brushes his teeth, and he just has horrific
here,
breath.
This is worth the price of the show.
Yes,
if you don't know
yes
this yet, because I know this also,
right,
protein bars and protein drinks make your breath smell
who
horrendous
knew what you would learn on Thrive.
So there's not yeah oh man, Thrive will just
yes
touch you in every area
but
of
just
your life.
Like that, you know, if
you gotta brush your teeth and oh, let me add this, your tongue.
Yes.
Take
yes
your brush and
a
brush
real
your
brush
tongue.
A big brush.
That's what gets the foul protein smell.
So I
off
think, you know, when we're
go
operating
ahead
at work or with our spouse or with our kids, basically, if we're not putting out the welcome mat, it's like we're going around with Premier protein chocolate on our breath. You know, I mean,
and
Garrett could really help that
it
guy. But, you know,
yeah,
that guy's not asking Garrett to speak into his life. And I'm not saying Garrett should have, but I'm just
yeah
saying, but when you're at close range with your family and friends, and you're really being foolish if you don't let
yeah
them speak into your life.
But let me say, if you are, even as you listen today, if you're thinking, maybe you haven't been willing to say it out loud, but you've really been thinking, I hate correction. I hate reproof.
That was me.
Well, here's your verse, Proverbs. Do you realize more than one place in Proverbs addresses that? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge,
hmm,
but he who hates reproof is stupid.
Hmm.
Wow.
That's
if you
pretty
hate reproof.
We're not even allowed to say that word in our home with our five
raising
kids.
Raising the kids, we
up
always taught them, you cannot say shut up.
What
you
version
cannot
is that
use the word stupid.
Here it is in
but
the
I
word
believe
of
this
God
verse in the original Hebrew says you need to shut up because you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
No, the shut up's not there, but stupid is.
Yeah.
He who hates
wow
reproof.
Well,
what
strong
he's saying is you really will remain stupid and ignorant
yeah
about
yeah
the biggest parts of your life
mm-hmm
that are hurting you and hurting others.
Yeah.
And so therefore you're just stupid if you don't want to hear correction.
Right.
From people. But, you know, it's funny. We're always like, I don't mind God bringing things into view about me, but I want it to just be
right
God,
yeah,
not another person. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm. The body of Christ.
He rarely ever operates like in the Old Testament where he just wrote things on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He uses other people.
Yes.
And it's almost like I think some of us are going to stand before God one day and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you help
right
me know? And he's like, I tried.
Yeah.
I sent your roommate.
Mm-hmm.
I sent your spouse. I sent your supervisor. I even sent your mother and your next door neighbor. And you wouldn't hear
mm-hmm
it from in. And you just kept saying, no, that's not what
right
I'm like. No, you don't understand.
It could
no
be, you seem
no
like an angry woman.
Well, that's what I was going to touch
like
on.
Yeah.
Here's two of the ways that we shut down people who try to bring us correction, anger
mm-hmm
and pouting.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good
those
point
are the two biggest, you know, sometimes people
mm-hmm
have other ways, but by pouting, I mean, I just will pull away.
Right.
I seem miffed. And I don't speak to you. I use minimal words for the next few hours or sometimes minimal words for the next few days.
Right.
Because I want to make sure you know I didn't like that when you tried to tell me something
mm-hmm
about me. Guys, I think women can do it, but I think guys, we're more guilty of anger.
Mm-hmm.
we just rear up and we explode in anger. And so I've got the, you don't understand, my job is so hard and I've got so much going on. Like, you need to give me a break. Mm-hmm. And you're always just on me. And I hope you're not always just on him. You know, we said, be encouraging, bring affirmation. But there's going to be places where, by God's grace, mm-hmm. he wants to use your spouse, your roommate, your coworker, a church friend, a neighbor, a family member mm-hmm. to help you see what you've not been seeing about you. If you want to be killing pride and to be cultivating humility so that love can thrive, consider, put in place, being approachable, being teachable, putting out the welcome mat for others to tell you things about you.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.